Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Good morning again. So, you know, with these lessons that we are going through, the Unity Way of Living, we're taking the basic concepts that we study to the next level, so to speak. So some of the things I may say might sound like it contradicts what we have come to know to be the practice when we are talking about moving to the next level. Does that make sense? Okay. You know, we've all heard the idea that you need to practice saying an affirmation until you actually become the affirmation, right? It's sort of the idea, once you become it, then it's not something you even think about anymore. It's just the way you function in life. Well, today we're going to talk about faith, and it's the same thing. You need to practice having faith until you actually become faith, right? And again, that's going to be the focus of this lesson. How does that process happen? How do we move from believing that we have to have to actually being? All right. So, you know, when you actually become in consciousness that which you are affirming, you no longer need to have faith because you have a shift in consciousness from doing to being. You know, affirmations and having faith is a doing process, right? You work at having it. So if you work at it long enough, you make this shift from the doing to the being, or from doing the work to actually becoming the work. You actually become that which you are striving to do. So listen to this from A Course in Miracles. And again, this is going to be a little bit mind-shifting in terms of what it says. Faith and belief are the means by which the goal of holiness is reached. So we use faith and we use belief to try to get to the goal of holiness. Through them, the Holy Spirit leads us to the real world and away from the illusions where your faith and belief are laid. This is the direction of the Holy Spirit, the only one the Holy Spirit ever sees. And when you wander, the Holy Spirit reminds you that there is but one direction, God faith, God belief, for all of you. And when you have accepted them completely instead of your own perception of faith, you will have need for them no longer. Everybody just catch that part? Okay. For faith and belief are meaningful only until the state of certainty is reached. Once the state of certainty is reached, faith and belief are no longer needed. You hearing that shift? Okay. And it goes on to say, in heaven, faith and belief are unknown, yet heaven is reached through faith and belief. That's powerful. So when you reach this heavenly state of consciousness, yeah, it knows nothing about faith and belief. It just is that idea. Okay. So, you know, we must go through the process of working at having faith until we become certain of the power and presence of God in our life and affairs. This reading is making a distinction between ego faith, or the faith of the intellect, and God faith. Ego faith, or the faith of the intellect, leads us to God faith. In other words, we can't get there other than through. And again, back to the basics again, John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, was born before Jesus, because John the Baptist represents the intellect, and you have to move through the intellect in order to get to the spiritual process. Physical birth, intellectual birth, spiritual birth, right? And that's why John said, yes, you know, I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I must what? Decrease and he must increase. So this idea, the idea of having faith is an intellectual process. It's where the ego's perception of what faith is, okay? But John is saying, yes, that's the way it goes, but you got to get to a place where that begins to diminish and you move into this higher state of consciousness. Is that Okay. So ego faith is in things seen or known to be possible. Usually when we are working with the ego, and we're having faith, we have some idea that this is possible, whereas God faith is in things unseen and possibilities not yet even known, not yet even perceived of, okay? So an example of ego faith is, I have faith that I will get this job, or that this circumstance will work out for my benefit, or I have faith in the doctor or whoever the professional is that I'm relying on to make something positive happen. You know, those are things, that's how the intellectual ego works. Right? Whereas God faith transcends material outcomes. The only outcome looked for in God faith is that you remain conscious of your union with God mind, which is the source from which all true guidance comes. Therein lies the difficulty of making that transition, because our faith lies in things that we couldn't know are possible. But God faith says, you're not even considering what's possible. The only thing you're doing is remaining centered in that idea. So faith caught up in the material life is grounded in material outcomes, meaning you seek proof that faith works through the manifestation or acquiring of the thing or circumstance that you desire. So you have faith and you get this thing and you go, oh, faith works because you got a thing. Okay? And that's how all the ego is directed. It has to be physically satisfied. Okay? However, God faith places you in the consciousness of certainty. God faith is proven when you become at peace regardless of the material circumstances occurring in your life. When you reach a consciousness of certainty, you know everything is working out for your highest good and for the highest good of others who are involved in your life and affairs. You just know it. And people say, well, how do you know it? And you go, I don't know how I know it. I just know. Because you're in a consciousness of knowing, okay? There's nothing that you hope for. See, right away the ego goes, wait a minute. No, I'm hoping for this. I'm hoping to be a retire. I'm hoping, you know, we go through this whole thing that we're always hoping for. But in God faith, there's nothing to hope for. There is only a peaceful knowing that God is real and present in your life and affairs. And this peacefulness becomes the outcome that you seek. So you're not seeking this physical thing to happen. You're only seeking to be peaceful right now, regardless of what is happening. Is that okay? So we know the word certain means sure, definite, positive. But a definition that expresses more what we're talking about in this lesson is certainty is that which is unspecified, unidentifiable, but still known to be real and presently present. I am certain. But if somebody asks you I'm settled in this consciousness of certainty. I know that it's unfolding in the universe. Okay, and even if you read some of the works of Dr. Carl Jung, and he talks about this idea of synchronicity, that the universe your mind is like a conductor of the universe, and it's conducting the universe to move according to how your consciousness, your feelings, your emotions are working. A lot of times when we are praying or are having faith for something, what we're saying is not congruent with what's going on inside of us. And the universe is not paying attention to what we're saying. It's paying attention to what we are feeling, what our emotions are about, because your emotions emote or move you in a certain direction, even though you're saying something else. Is that okay? So now, mind you, at the level of consciousness of we presently are, we definitely need to strive to have faith. Get what I'm saying? So the stuff that we're talking about now is, this is what we're moving towards. But we have to be conscious of where we are now. So where we are now, we definitely need to have faith. It's just that certainty places us at a different level of consciousness. Certainty moves us from a consciousness of needing to have faith to a consciousness of actually being that which we are striving to have. All right? So you actually become at a higher level of consciousness. That's what you felt you needed at a lower level of consciousness. You become that at a higher level of consciousness that you thought you needed at a lower level of consciousness. Okay, I just thought for a minute, the reason why I stopped and kind of let you soak it in. Pam and I watch World of Dance, and they had these dancers up there, and they were just phenomenal. But J-Lo said, as good as it was, I needed moments when you stopped so I could take it in, and then you moved to the next move. It all flowed too quickly, and it was all one big movement. So I stopped so you can take in the dance. Taking the dance that I just did. So, again, as great as faith and belief have been to our psychological, emotional, physical, spiritual well-being, right? Faith has kind of gotten us to this place. It's been very powerful and important. But there is still a space in time called expectancy. So when we're having faith, we are expecting that something is going to happen. There's this space in time, okay? Expectancy means you still believe it hasn't happened yet, but you have faith that it will happen, all right? To believe is to expect. It is to look forward to. You know, one day this pain will stop. Or one day I will, you know, it's, you know, you're expecting it to happen. And so you keep looking and stretching for it, all right? All right, but whereas from a consciousness of certainty, we would absolutely know that God is real and present right now, and we're living and breathing and having our being in God. And this gives us a peace that surpasses understanding, regardless of whether or not we have manifested that thing which we say we want. It's sort of like the, you know, the simple thing we always hear, that happiness is not something you get to, it's the journey. So it's sort of like as you are journeying towards those goals that you want to achieve, you're in this space of happiness. You're in this space of peacefulness. Is that making sense? Okay. Like I did a photo shoot yesterday of, I don't know how many people remember Keith Early, but his daughter came over and her kids and all. And when she walked in, she hadn't seen us for a long time, and Pam just had a birthday and hit one, not quite the big number, you know, that we're at, you know. She's close, right? You know, and a daughter, and then Pam was telling her how long we've been together and all, and she was like, God, you know, what is that like? And Pam said, it's work. You have to do it every day. You have to work at the marriage every single day. But then we said, but we're at that kind of that point of bliss right now. You know what I'm talking about? Well, yes, we still have to work, but it's just, we're in that bliss. It's not something we have to get to. You know, we are there every moment of every day. So that's sort of the idea that we're working with here. So at the time the doctor's hands are working, or your relationship or your supply or whatever is challenging you, even though it has not manifested yet, absolute certainty is that you know that you are now well. The doctor's working, but you already know your wellness. Your finances are not where they are, but you already know you're prosperous. You get it? You know, so you're kind of in that state of consciousness right now instead of waiting for it to happen, right? And this is a higher understanding of what Jesus was relating to in Matthew 6:8 when he said, your Father knows what you need even before you ask. One who has reached a consciousness of certainty knows that when the desire enters his or her mind, it is certain, they're certain it is already done. When it enters your mind, you're certain it is already done, all right? It is already done in the universe. And the manifestation will be ready as soon as you are ready. You will see it, feel it, experience, have it when you are truly ready for it. Because a lot of times the things we're asking for, we want them, but we're not really ready for them yet, okay? So readiness has to catch up with the universe. For example, if you receive information that says you need to go through a medical procedure or another place to live or need medical resources or whatever the challenge may be, a person of faith would know absolutely that everything will be all right, whereas a person of certainty would be absolutely fine right now, knowing that already things are all right. Okay, so it's that in, the thing with all of this is it's a mindset. The mindset of, and we've been taught all of our religious lives to what? Have faith. And so that's where we were. We were having faith. Now we're understanding the idea of being faith, being in this moment and knowing that all is well. So again, please understand that by no means are we condemning being a person of faith. Does that make sense? Okay. And as the reading said, it is by having faith that the Holy Spirit leads us to what is real. I believe all of us are working diligently right now at being a person of faith. I truly believe that. We're all working with this concept of being a person of faith. But by possibly understanding that there's a step beyond the intellectual understanding of faith, we may have a better understanding of what we're ultimately striving for. Sometimes we get caught up, most of the time we get caught up in a spiritual idea, and we just stay with that idea for the rest of our lives. Okay? That's why you always hear me say that whatever I'm saying to you right now is only what I know right now. But it is not for me a belief. Because a lot of times when we get into a belief, then we're stuck there and we don't evolve. All right? I truly understand that what I know in this moment is only what I know in this moment. And I know there is stuff way beyond where I can get to or where I'm headed. Okay? So, and again, by understanding that God faith is a consciousness of certainty, is the power and presence of God is always in your life. That's the idea you want to get to. I know that this is good. You know, I'm in this space and it's good. I'm learning to live in faith, right? As James Dillard Freeman wrote, faith is the expectation of the unexpected. Faith is the expectation of the unexpected. And I think it was Emily Cady who wrote, faith steps out on what seems to be a void and finds solid ground. Okay? So when you're walking in faith, you just step out in faith. Whereas a person who's having faith is going, well, I don't see nothing to step on yet. When there's something to step on, then I will have faith to step out. All right? It all goes back, I keep using the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. You say, who saw that? Where he stepped into a void, you know, and it was a step there, you know. So it's sort of that idea. So hopefully we have a better understanding of what the reading meant when it says, once the state of certainty is reached, faith and belief are no longer needed. So faith and belief are an exercise that the ego or the intellect uses to try to maintain itself in a sense of peacefulness, you know, while it's going through turmoil, okay? But it's still an expectancy that it is going to happen, right? And they said, once you reach the state of certainty, then you don't play those mind games anymore. So faith and belief is a mind game we're playing. Very necessary mind game. Is everybody with me? Very necessary mind game. But it's a mind game we're playing because we are not yet at the level of consciousness where we no longer need that, okay? So certainty causes our consciousness to shift from expecting something to happen to knowing that it, whatever it is, has already been done. You know, as we explored last week, the creation is already complete. The creation is already complete, right in the beginning of the Bible. And God said he has created all this and it is good. Okay, so it is already complete. And knowing this will cause your language to shift from I have faith that I will be healed to I am whole and well. I have faith that I will have the money I need to I am whole and well. I have faith that my relationship will become, you know, happy and joyful to I am whole and well. It is by remaining in a mental place of being whole and well that you project this wholeness and wellness into your life. So as we say at the end of the service, the Spirit of the Lord goes before me making what? Easy, joyous, and successful my way. So when you have this sense of I am whole and well, as opposed to, oh boy, I need money, or I need to be healed, you follow me? This need, I am whole and well goes before you and makes all those things already there. When you get there, they'll be right there ready for you. Which goes back again to, see, you got to pull all these pieces together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So we hear that, and it just sounds like religious mumbo jumbo until you begin to understand that there is a mental process that's affecting the universe. Again, Carl Jung's work, synchronicity, is that the good you're looking for happens when your mind and that good are in the same place. You get it? Or if your mind's not in the right place, you can come to the good you're looking for and you won't even recognize it because your mind has not reached the level of consciousness to be able to affect it and bring it into your life. Okay, it's written in Hebrews 11:7. Hebrews 11:7, Paul said, by faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. Now, the ark represents a consciousness of refuge. So when you read ark, it's a consciousness of refuge from the flood of events that's coming to challenge your state of peace in your life. Stuff is always coming, right? So you kind of build this ark, and it becomes your consciousness of refuge. Now, when the scripture says Noah condemned the world, it means Noah removed his faith from relying on anything in the physical world. This placed him in a frame of mind of constantly remembering that he is heir to God's infinite love and abundance. So instead of him saying, oh, man, my house is going to, you know, go in my land and flood, he built this ark, which is a consciousness of refuge from this flood of things that were coming at him that he didn't even know about other than he received it as a message from God. Is that making practical sense? Okay. No, it's not easy, but hopefully it makes sense to our intellect until we can get it into our spirit. Okay, so to know, truly know, that you are already protected, you are already prosperous, you are already healed and made whole, raises you to a consciousness of certainty. You do not need to have faith that anything will happen, because you will know with divine certainty that everything, no matter what the appearance is, has already happened. And I am in the midst of it. So the ego always wants to fix or perceive things as needing to be fixed, right? Okay? Whereas the true self only wants to serve God, meaning to be an instrument through which the divine can do a perfect work. As illustrated by James Twyman, he said, Mother Teresa, that she did not believe she was in Calcutta taking care of the sick. Rather, she was, in her mind, was in heaven serving God. Okay. Can you feel the difference in that statement? See, the ego would say, I'm here fixing people. I'm fixing this thing. Okay. She wasn't fixing anything. All right. And I've read that Mother Teresa, when she held a dying child in her arms, she knew with absolute certainty that that child was being delivered into the arms of God. She wasn't trying to fix what she perceived to be wrong. She was instead maintaining a consciousness of oneness with the divine, a consciousness where she did not judge the darkness, but instead chose to always remain in the light. But the ego's going to go, the ego's, oh, no, no, we got to fix this. And from every intellectual bone in our body, every one of us would say, yes, we got to fix this. Which puts us into the darkness of thinking that things are wrong, instead of remaining in the light. Can you even imagine being in Calcutta, taking care of the sick and dying, and only through your mind is thinking, I'm in heaven serving God? That's a powerful thought. You know, you've heard me use her famous line as I'm a tiny pencil in the hand of God writing a love letter to the world. That is a phenomenal just feeling of being in that state of oneness. All right? So, and again, you know, have you ever noticed how when you become angry, discouraged, afraid, or somehow disenchanted, or just disenfranchised, or I like the word disenfranchised, it means deprived of power or being marginalized. Now, you can feel real strong, oh, yeah, I got this, I'm doing this, and something happens that disenfranchises you, right? It takes your power away. It didn't really take your power away. You gave your power to it, okay? And, you know, and how when your true light is replaced by your true light is replaced by your ego, when your pride comes up and goes, look what I did. Look how I fixed that, right? And again, you say, well, yeah, I should feel good about things I did. But that pride also is a means of entering into the darkness, of believing that you did that. Your true light will shine when you realize what Jesus realized when he says, I, say it with me, of myself can do nothing. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father. What that means is in all things that you do, you take a moment to just be still and listen for guidance. And when you receive that guidance, don't pluck the fruit off the tree and say, this is my idea. Right? You receive that guidance, you know that that's the Father seeking to work through you. Remember, the invisible is always seeking to become visible. The unmanifest is always seeking to become manifest. That's a quantum physics idea. But it only can become manifest through you as an instrument. Okay? So all, you know, as we have all experienced a challenge with having faith rather than being certain, the problem with having faith is that you can lose faith. All right? But once you know with absolute certainty that God is real and active in your life and affairs, it can never be taken away from you. As Joel Goldsmith says, once you have seen God, you cannot unsee God. You can never again be uncertain about the power and presence of God working in your life and affairs. You can never lose faith in the miracle you experience. You will instead be like Mother Teresa and see yourself as being in heaven serving God. All right? And you are, you know, if you're asking, how will things in my life get fixed, be made right? The answer is things will be fixed and made right when you are fixed and made right. And you will be fixed and made right when you become certain that God is real, present, and active in your life and affairs. And so, I know that's a lot of information, right? You have a lot to think about. But this coming week, practice, act, pretend that you know with absolute certainty that healing, harmonizing, expanding presence of God is working in your life. If you just practice that, even if you are faking it until you what? Was it faking until you make it? You will begin to see miracles unfold in your life. Amen.